Welcome to AUP Radio, a melting pot of voices and ideas. This evening, we bring you a special collaboration of Outside the Bubble and Where Can You Never Go, followed by On the Mark, What's Popping, and The Self.
A day trip out of the city has never seemed so nice, especially when you can get there with just your MetroCard. I'm Savannah, and I'm normally joined by my co-host Olivia, but due to rotating sickness and
due to life
being in busy schedules, she is not here, and we have not gone on a day trip out of the city in quite some time, but I am joined by my lovely executive producer, Isabel.
Hello.
We're going to talk about the suburbs today.
Because we thought we would do a joint Outside the Bubble and Where Can You Never Go? Because we haven't done Outside the Bubble in a while, and it's almost the end of the season, and Savannah's not been able to take a trip, so we're going to just talk about the burbs.
We're going to talk about everything that the inside of the periphery doesn't have to offer, and all the places that you can get to just using your Navigo. So...
Or your bicycle,
because Isabel doesn't have a Navigo. You're a horrible guest.
I admit it.
No.
But I live in Clichy, 92. So, so you can get around with a bike as well, and it's quite nice.
Yeah, and she used to use Vélib as well.
I did, back in the olden days. So, Savannah, what are some of your favorite spots in the burbs?
Well, there's a lot to do. There's, as we discussed... Recently, there's theme parks a la Disneyland. Mm-hmm. There's a huge flea market, one of the most famous ones in Europe. Mm-hmm. There's chateaus. There's so much to do. I'm a little biased. The first year I lived here, I lived in Saint-Germain-en-Laye. We've done an episode on it. I absolutely love it out there. It's like a miniature Paris. Mm. I love the pousses, the Marché aux Pousses, the flea markets, mm-hmm. Just in the northern part of Paris, just in the right outside the periphery.
Which is Porte de Clignancourt, so it's in the way north at the end of line 4.
The very last stop on line 4. And I've been to Disneyland too, and that was pretty cool. You just take, I think, is it the RERC?
Yeah, it's the RER.
Mm-hmm. And you just go all the way to the last stop.
It's the B.
You're right. It's the B.
I'm not sure.
it's one of the RERs,
but it's not too far.
It's not. So I think the Navigo is such a great thing to have, especially as a student, because we're on a budget. Yes, traveling in Europe is fairly cheap, but sometimes you just want to go somewhere for free, which is really great, because if you have a Navigo, it's kind of included in the cost. And what are some of your favorite things that are outside of Paris?
So I think the banlieue is quite underrated by people who have not lived in Paris for a long time. And that makes sense because, if you're just moving to Paris, then you want to be in the city, you want to be near the monuments and the Seine and the cobblestones and the Latin Quarter and all of that. But honestly, I think that the suburbs have some of the best nightlife to offer.
Do you have any recommendations of places that are outside Paris?
So to that point, I know that Montreuil is becoming a very happening place, which is, I think, the 93 code. It's in the east of Paris. So if you go outside of Porte de Bagnolet, which is outside of the 20th, there is always something going on in Montreuil. That having been said, I have not actually been out to Montreuil yet, but this is the feedback I keep getting from especially my Parisian friends who've been around for a bit longer and who know these kinds of things. Also,
so you're hearing this indirectly,
yes,
but straight from the Parisians.
Yes. And I have a good friend living in Montreuil, and she attests that it's a very happening part of town, which I think is important because this is something that has been a plan for Paris for several years. It's Le Grand Paris. It's expanding what we refer to as Paris beyond the périphérique, which is this... circumferential highway.
It's the highway that runs in a circle, and it sets as like the limit, the city limits of Paris.
And when you look at the metro map, that's zone 1.
Yeah.
So with your Navigo, you have the right to go just to up until the zone 5. Is that correct?
Yeah. So the whole region, the Île de France region, is separated in terms of metro mapping in zones. The inner part of Paris, the main city center, is zone one. So everything outside that, the banlieue, the suburbs, those are expanding out to zones five, which are like the farthest points that you can get to from Paris to the very edge of the region.
With the RER or the...
Or the SNCF, the lettered train. So yes, there's like RER A, B, C, D. Is there an RER D?
Yeah.
I think there is. Maybe. I don't know. But you can also, there's also lettered trains. So there's like the L, the P, those go out to different...
To the further bone.
Yeah, yeah, even further. So like I lived in...
Saint-Germain-en-Laye.
Saint-Germain-en-Laye, also in Saint-Nom-la-Bretèche. Mm-hmm. And I had to take the L train and get off at the very last stop on the L train, which is a long ride from Paris. It's like an hour and a half train ride.
But it's a nice area. I mean, I went...
It's beautiful. They're known for their golf course and the Farm de Galie. Mm-hmm. So it's a farm where you can go and pick your own vegetables. Mm-hmm. It's really funny because when I was an au pair, first I was out in the suburbs, then I au paired in the center of Paris, and the kids that I took care of in the center of Paris, they took a field trip. They actually had a field trip to where I used to live in Saint-Nom-la-Bretèche to the farms. They're like, oh yeah, we picked our own vegetables. I'm like, LOL, I literally used to live right next to that.
Absolutely. I went recently to a concert actually in Cergy, because it's an artist I've been wanting to see live for a while, a Swiss singer called Vendredi sur Mer. Go check her out. But also, she was going to be in the city in, I think, L'Olympia, which is a huge concert hall, very mm-hmm. well known. And tickets for that were 35 euros or something like that. And in Cergy, there were 15. And I thought, well, this is a very obvious choice. I'm going to the Burbs. I'm glad I went out because it was a small concert venue. So it was a very intimate setting. And we were maybe 50 people in there. So it was a very interesting experience of an artist who's actually quite well known. Something else I think of when I think of the banlieue and cool places that I've heard of and that I would like to go to that are not too far. There's La Ferme du Bonheur, which is a farm. I think it's a chicken farm. And it's in Nanterre, and I know that they do brunches.
Oh,
there.
And that's not far from Paris. You can get to Nanterre on RERA, 20 minutes maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's a quick hop out of the city if you want to have kind of a country vibe.
Just and outside La Défense, I believe. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What else? But I know Saint-Denis is a very interesting place. And notably, I ended up at a party there in the summer at a venue called the 6B, Le 6B. And, or maybe it's the B6, I don't know. But it was an open air in the middle of, I guess, the Seine.
Oh.
And it was charming. So do not underestimate the charms, the wonders of the suburbs. And
I like seeing the Seine outside of Paris. Mm-hmm. It looks like an actual river outside of Paris.
Absolutely. It's not stonewalled. And
exactly.
In the summer, we also, my friends and I, at one point, we just couldn't stand the heat wave anymore. And we got on an RER and just got off somewhere random and then walked to the river. And we ended up at the confluence of the Seine and Marne. And it was a beautiful day.
If you, I know because when I lived out in Saint-Germain-en-Laye, if you go to Chateau Croissy, it's a stop just, I believe it's either right before Saint-Germain-en-Laye or two before. And it's a little area of town that sits on the Seine, and you can kayak out there. It's really nice. It's definitely such a different way of seeing the river that you normally see in Paris.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. We did a lot of research on this in the summer because we wanted to find a place where we could swim. We ended up swimming just randomly in the place where we got off. I think it was called Bois le Roi. I think we just picked it because we liked the name. It was not far from Fontainebleau, but there are lots of places when summer comes back where you can swim in the Seine and Marne. So definitely check that out as well. But like Savannah said, there's a lot of culture in the surrounding zones of Paris proper. The Marché de Puces, which is very well known, as you mentioned before, and music, music venues. So definitely music festivals will also take you out of the city. I've been to Wheel of Green a few times, which takes place in Bois de Vincennes, which is a beautiful forest in and of itself. There's also the Parc Floral there, which always has workshops and events going on throughout the year. I think they have really nice lights in this season, so that's something worth checking out. If you want to do something less typical of the holiday season than going to Champs-Élysées, where you won't see anything of interest anyway, I think.
Yeah.
So don't check out bother. The Parc Floral. Bois de Boulogne.
Bois de Boulogne is right outside Paris.
Yeah, and it has an interesting reputation. It might be a little bit sketchy in the nighttime, but
just
during the day.
It's beautiful during
the
day.
It's gorgeous. There's a botanical garden that you can visit for a small price, and it's really large, so I think it's worth paying that price. So you spend the whole day there.
I love Bois de Boulogne. It's a great place to ride a bike. Mm-hmm. Also, they have a cute little island in the center of like the lake there, and it's got a restaurant on it. I believe it's called Le Chalet or Le Chalet des Îles.
Le Chalet des Îles, yes.
And you have to take a little like ferry over there, and it's such a great place.
Did you have dinner there once?
I've had dinner there, and I've also grabbed drinks there in the summer.
Living the life, wow.
It's a little pricey, but it is such a nice area to go. It's such a cool place to hang out. It's absolutely really busy during the summer in the evenings.
You'll feel like you're in a different part of the country.
It's so, so cool. And also, you can take little rowboats out too in the lake in Bois de Boulogne as well.
It's so funny that you bring up Chalet des Îles, because the segment that Savannah and I had in the beginning of the semester, just to fill time, but also because we love to talk to each other and to talk to you
and to talk about ourselves
and about our lives outside the bubble. In that show I talked a little bit about what it was like to work in this brasserie, and in our first year, the first year when it was open, I said to you, the listeners, it was nonsense. It was crazy. And so at the end of that first year in July, when we closed the restaurant for a few weeks, our boss decided to take us out for dinner somewhere really nice, because I think frankly he was surprised by how well the first year had gone, and he took us all to Chalet des Îles. So that's my memory of that place. It was the first time we'd seen each other well dressed, you know.
Oh,
everyone was looking fresh, and we started the evening at Chalet des Îles. So absolutely, that's a lovely place to go. Also, there is, of course, as Savannah mentioned, there are many castles that you can visit.
So many. I mean, you've heard it. We've been to Versailles. We've been to Fontainebleau. Most of these villages outside of Paris have like a chateau there.
Yeah.
And then there's like the surrounding village.
Mm-hmm. And also, not just Versailles, but unrelated to castles, Porte de Versailles is a huge, huge convention center.
Yeah. They usually have events going on there. They have a food event every year.
There's Salon du Chocolat in the fall. There's Salon de la Littérature or things like this, right?
Yeah.
They have the agriculture salon.
The big agriculture
huge
one in the summer. I went to that one.
It's iconoclastic for France. I don't even know if that's the correct use of that word, but I'm just going to go with it because it's huge.
No, that one is absolutely massive. They take over every building in that convention center. I went to the agriculture one and it was very interesting. They have food. I really liked it because they had food booths from so many different countries, and they had music playing. They had live animals there. Don't totally agree with that, but it's so much good food and drinks, and you can sample everything too, just to make an afternoon of it.
So don't undersell Paris when you have friends coming to visit. Don't undersell it and tell them that everything we're seeing is within the limits of Paris proper. There is so much to see outside of it, and also the advantages. In the banlieue, you have a lot of interesting stuff, a lot of opportunities to experience the culture in a different way.
Absolutely, yeah.
And oftentimes it's less expensive as well.
Yes, of course. Well, you have been listening to a collaboration of Outside the Bubble meets Where Can You Navigo?
Oh, yeah.
I am your editor-in-chief, Savannah. Thank you for joining me, Isabel.
My pleasure. Thanks,
Savannah. And then tune in next week for the last on-air edition of Where Can You Navigo?
And afterwards, you'll still be able to catch Savannah on podcast platform.
Yes, I'll still be continuing Where Can You Navigo? Just outside of AUP Radio. Thanks for listening, everyone.
And have a lovely evening.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of RJM live on AUP Radio. My name is Ricky J. Mark, and I will be your host for the next few minutes. First things first, I'd like to thank all of you who have reached out about our voter registration episode last week. We've had nothing but fantastic feedback for it, and we will definitely be revisiting that in the very near future. So stay tuned, and we'll have some more information for that. This week, I want to talk to you about something that might not actually surprise you. I'm going to be talking to you about thankfulness. For those of you that are listening here in France, every year, the last Thursday of the month of November, Americans celebrate Thanksgiving. Big surprise, I'm sure many of you know this, of course. But for some of us here who might be in Paris for the first time, this might be kind of jarring because, you know, it's not every day that you will encounter a Thanksgiving celebration because, after all, you know, obviously the history is a little bit different here. So essentially every year during Thanksgiving, what is supposed to happen is family, friends come together. They have a big dinner. And in the midst of that dinner, we often go around the table to see what each person is thankful for. You know, we say we're thankful for friends, family, something good that recently happened. And, you know, we just use the holiday as a reminder for a lot of the blessings that we might have in life. So what I want to do is talk about four things that I personally am thankful for. The first being a loving family, the second being good health, the third, personal growth, and the fourth, an increase in social awareness. Without further ado, let's get started. So, as I mentioned before in previous episodes, I would be nothing without my loving family, my parents, Jamil and Guyleen Mark, my sisters Eve, Heather, and Shoshi back home, each of which continue to make me proud as they continue their college careers, and my best friend and brother, Felipe. Now, it's very easy as we get older, as we move through life, to lose sight of the things that are most important to us. This isn't the first time that I've been away from home or that I've even been here in Paris. But as I begin my life here, I do it with the confidence that I have that no matter what I do, my family will always support me. I'll give you a perfect example. During my first year of law school, long, long ago, I remember it was maybe 72 hours before my first property law final. And I remember the closest thing to a possible freak out. I mean, I honestly, for me and most of my classmates, a lot of us didn't really feel like we knew anything. For those of you listening to this right now that have been through the law school process, you might know a little bit of what I'm talking about. But as I was having the closest thing to a breakdown, I almost immediately snapped back into it because I remembered that I have a family, a loving family back home that is rooting for me, and they just want to see me succeed. And that was the push that I needed to get through, not just that year, but through law school. And also, I want to say this. Family is not just the group of people you were born into. Some would say that friends are the family you choose. And I agree with that 100%. You know, Felipe is my brother of, I'd say, about 20 years now. And we met when my dad and his older brother were playing tennis not too far from my house in Boca Raton, Florida. You know, from that point on, we, you know, became fast friends, best friends. And at this point, I consider him a brother. He's going to be the best man at my wedding. You know, this is something that I know. And, you know, it is so important when we go through life to have a support system. And, you know, my three sisters, my mother, my father, my brother, they are always there. They are always there for me. And it's something that no distance can ever erase or limit. So next up, the second thing, good health. I am thankful for good health because good health is a blessing and it is not something to be taken for granted. Not to sound overly cynical or dark, but I was watching this movie called The Fault in Our Stars a few years back where one of the characters mentioned that you never know when your last good day is. So when I heard that, that particularly struck me because how many of you, when you're sick, think back to, oh man, I forgot how normal it feels to feel good and not be sick or lightheaded. That sort of thing is something we can't take for granted. And now that I think about it, you know, I've been here in France since August. And I gotta say, as an American coming here, the healthcare system, at least for me personally, in my personal opinion, has been a significant upgrade.
If you just tuned in, this is On The Mark on AAP Radio, brought to you by WRP. It's 9:20.
The idea of being able to go to a doctor and get prescription medication and not have to worry about how much money I have in my pocket is truly an incredible thing. It truly is. I got a couple of vaccines for the school here, and I remember the lady at the pharmacy giving me a remboursement form, and it blew my mind because essentially the way it was set up was that I might pay for something up front, and then I'd essentially get reimbursed for most, if not all of it, by the end of the month, essentially ensuring a net payment of $0 or euros. That sort of thing is amazing. You know, I've looked into the way the healthcare system works here, and it kind of blows my mind that this sort of thing doesn't exist in the United States, at least at the level here. Now, of course, no healthcare system is perfect, but my goodness, I mean, you know, I can't think of how many times I or people I knew close to me avoided going to the doctor because of an inevitable hospital bill or payment or co-payment or anything like that. You know, I think we have very good reason to feel thankful to be in a system like this, to the roughly 200,000 of you, if not more, that are currently listening to this live here in France and in the south of the country. I truly am thankful to be in a system like this. And I hope that the United States, especially with our elections around the corner, can move in that direction as quickly as possible. So next up, I'd like to talk about another thing I'm thankful for, and that is personal growth. You know, in life, if you're not moving forward, that can be a problem. We have a duty in this world to constantly grow and improve as human beings. We have a duty to improve upon ourselves because as the world continues to turn, we can't afford to remain stagnant because either we change with the times or we let existence or society pass us by. I've grown a significant amount in the last few years, and just in the last 3 years. I'm not the person I was when I first came to Paris in 2015, and I don't anticipate being the person that I am right now in 5 years. You know, it's always important to seek that kind of knowledge. And I'm glad now that I'm in a place in my life personally that I can continue to grow as an individual and as a human being. Because I think if we're all able to do that, if we're all able to constantly seek better ways to interact with one another or be aware of who we are as individuals, it can only help to improve who we are and even our self-awareness and self-worth even. Now, speaking of awareness, I would say the last thing, but definitely not the least, that I'm thankful for this year is social awareness. I, as you know, a straight black male living here in Paris, I've grown increasingly more and more aware of the privileges that I have as a man and the privileges that I might not have in society. And there's this certain idea of solidarity that I found that it's so important for each and every one of us to have. Because whether we realize it or not, many of us either benefit from or are oppressed by a certain kind of privilege that is afforded to either you or somebody else. And for those of you that have been listening to my segment every week, you've heard me talk about things like feminism, where, you know, it was only a few years ago that I embraced, you know, who I am as a feminist and look forward to growing more and more in that regard. Because in reality, you know, I remember when I was younger, there were issues that were being discussed that didn't quite affect me because, you know, as a guy, I'm getting paid almost the same, if not the exact same as other guys in the United States. My privilege shielded me from some of the problems that, say, other women face. And as you break that down into different sections, Hispanic women, Black women, Asian women, and so on and so forth, I didn't have to deal with that problem. But over time, as I got older, as I started to learn more and more about the world, and I started to listen more and more to other groups of oppressed peoples, I started to realize that this world is much deeper than meets the eye. There are many issues in the world today, many of which I hope to continue to talk about every week as we move forward with this, that need to be addressed. I need to use my straight male privilege to amplify the voices of those that aren't like me. The same way I would hope people back home or even here in France and Europe and beyond to use their white privilege to amplify voices like myself and many others around me who happen to be people of color and or Black. You know, these sorts of things are extremely important. And as it regards social awareness, I'm glad that I'd like to think that I'm moving in a direction where, you know, we're able to continue to grow and become more and more aware of other people that might be enduring an existence that we might know nothing about. A couple of weeks ago, one of the students here at school named Max, he started up a group here on campus where men can come together and talk about how we can truly improve society while being aware of not just our own privileges, but the things that we might not even be aware that we're doing wrong to others. You know, we've had some very good discussions about these sorts of things. Like, for example, not too long ago, I remember we were talking about something called, you might have heard this, man spreading, where people would sit and spread their legs very widely on the metro or on the bus, and how that sort of encroaches on the space of other people. That sort of thing is not good, and we have to hold not just ourselves accountable, but people within our, I guess you could call it, palace of privilege. We have to hold them accountable as well. We have to have these important conversations, because if we don't have them, who will? Because if it's obvious that the voices of so many, for example, the Dakota Pipeline, I think I mentioned this in a previous episode, where reports are saying that, well, this is the scandal that no one is talking about. Well, the truth is, Native Americans in that area have been talking about the Dakota Access Pipeline for years now and the threat it poses not just to sacred Native land, but the environment. The problem is nobody was listening to them. This is an issue. So for those of us whose voices might be more heard than say Native voices, and I believe we have some here at AUP Radio that I'm so glad to be hearing every week, we need to use our platform to amplify those voices. That is so important in this world. And as we continue to move forward with this project, I think that it's truly something that I think we can all be thankful for if we continue to be willing enough to grow as individuals, be thankful for our family, embrace the concept of good health and personal growth, and continue to move forward as a society. So here's what I wish for all of you. I hope each and every one of you, whether you celebrate or not, I hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving coming up, which is Thursday, November 28th. I look forward to talking with you again next week. This has been Ricky J. Mark with AUP Radio. For more about me, feel free to engage with me on social media at Ricky J. Mark on any form of social media, or visit my website at rickyjmark.com. This was fun. Let's do this again next week.
welcome to What's Poppin' with Lila
and Isala,
your two pop culture gurus out in Paris. We cover trending pop news topics, social media trends, and all the celebrity tea. So stay tuned for what's the latest goings on with your favorite celebrities. I'm from New York.
And I'm from California.
We're two freelance journalism students at AUP, and we're giving you the scoop.
So what's the scoop today?
So our first story of the day is that Kim Kardashian announced that she's thinking about making shapewear for men. Which has been kind of controversial because if you haven't seen what it looks like, I mean, it kind of looks like a regular pair of Spanx, but just on a man.
So I think what a lot of people are like upset about this for is that they're thinking of like your typical heterosexual male. And they're just like, we don't want to see like, we wouldn't want to hook up with a guy who's in this or like got those guys wouldn't even wear that type of
stuff. I'm not going to lie. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Like if, you know.
I could not. I mean, like I don't even go to that extra mile of putting on a waist trainer or Spanx,
right,
unless it's like something very, very serious. Or I ate too many cheeseburgers.
I feel like that's because we have more like bodycon dresses. Like at least straight males are rarely, aside from maybe like skinny jeans, wearing anything like that form fitting.
So yeah, all of our fits in women's clothing, the fit is always made to accentuate our body. Mm-hmm. Men, they don't have to worry about their body at all in any clothing. But there are now some men who do have to.
Right.
And they dress and things are supposed to accentuate their body, and they might need the little extra help to suck it all in.
The sound. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm not mad at it like about that, but I don't think she's gonna really like revolutionize the market of straight white
and
male
she's
clothing.
She's not going to make a whole bunch of money on that either.
Oh, definitely not.
That's going to be a loss.
And also, I mean, there's just nothing, because if you look at the picture, it stops at like the man's pectorals.
That goes way too high.
And that looks, I mean, I don't even, it almost would look like you have a little up top situation going on, which almost like counteracts the whole point.
Exactly. Like, or like grabbing on the side and you feel that big buckle that was on the side or something.
Yeah. Like. So I think the concept of shapewear for men, maybe, I mean, who knows? Mm-hmm. Kim Kardashian always seems to revolutionize
exactly
the game. Exactly. So, I mean, we'll see.
Maybe Kanye can use some.
Oh, the tea.
Okay, moving on. So, Jussie Smollett is countersuing Chicago. The former Empire actor Jussie Smollett is suing the city of Chicago for malicious prosecution, claiming he was the victim of mass public ridicule and harm after he was charged with orchestrating a fake hate crime against himself. So, if you don't know what happened, Jussie Smollett had reported that he was attacked and that he was the victim of a hate crime. But after Chicago police started to
investigate
this, they said that Smollett paid two brothers, Abel and Ola Osundario.
And it's kind of important to know that they're both black.
Oh, yeah.
He claimed that they were two white men with MAGA hats.
Yes, and that they tied a noose around his neck and poured gasoline on him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think later they ended up saying that they paid him to stage this because he wanted to get paid.
And there are even pictures of them buying.
So it's safe to say he might have been guilty in this one. But the city was suing the actor to recover more than $130,000 after dismissing the case.
Mm-hmm.
Dismissing the case and without a plea after Smollett agreed to surrender his $10,000 bail and perform 16 hours of community service. So it's not like the charges were dismissed. He paid money. It looks like he paid a fine and then he did community service.
Right.
Now he's countersuing. It kind of just seems like you just need to sit down.
Right. No, exactly.
Let this one blow over.
I forgot about it, honestly. Like, I didn't even remember.
Exactly. But so, we also forgot about him. So now he's trying to bring himself back to the limelight, probably.
But I just, that the way that name, like, I don't know. It's kind of like,
yep, leaves a bad taste in your mouth now.
Yeah, it does. If I were him, I would just, like, live a quiet life.
Yeah. And then maybe tell your story, like, maybe 20 years later.
Oh, my gosh, that'd be such a good, like, Oxygen special.
Yes.
What is it, like, true
or
crime?
Lifetime movie.
That would be so, like, what was going on behind the scenes? He could have really, if he waited just one or two more years, he would have had a good payday.
Seriously. But, yeah, so just sit down, Jesse.
So our next story is Jocelyn Savage speaks out on R. Kelly. So for those of you who don't know, Jocelyn Savage is one of R. Kelly's, quote, live-in girlfriends. He had two live-in girlfriends, I believe, that were
stuck by his side.
Exactly. And they had interviews. They said their parents went on a few shows and basically asked them to come back home because they thought that they were being brainwashed. I think one was 21, and I think the other one was like 19. Mm-hmm.
But he had been with them years before.
True.
When they were younger.
But the girls said that their parents willingly gave them over.
Kind of simped them out.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure about that, but in a post she says about R. Kelly, quote, "It was nights, I mean every night, Robert would get drunk, and that's where most of his anger came from. He told me I couldn't do certain stuff without him knowing or his assistant." She goes on to say that she slipped into a depression from missing fresh air, and apparently all of the, quote, "shopping and taking me to my favorite stores stopped February 2016. She also noted that one time she said, "Hey, babe," once instead of the one of the two names that she was supposed to call him, and he choked her until she blacked out.
So a lot of people, Jocelyn Savage was very pro R. Kelly. Like, mm-hmm. she was by his side through it all. She was doing interviews. She even spoke down on her parents, saying that they were just full of it and stuff.
And just jealous.
Yeah,
and
exactly. So a lot of people are feeling that this is weird coming out of nowhere, right?
So what I'm kind of curious is where is she even now?
What happened was, it was R. Kelly's lawyer or his PR person who said she's only doing this because the money has ran out. Yeah, so I just saw that this morning.
Okay, so I believe everything she's saying. However, I do think...
It came at a weird moment.
Yeah, I also think noting when the shopping stopped. I think that was supposed to be a jab at him for not having as much money, but instead that makes you look not great. You know, I don't even understand. If you read the whole thing, it doesn't even really make any sense why she had to mention that's when the shopping stopped for me, which it's is that really worth your freedom?
Yeah. But then also,
I'm also curious, what are one of the two names she was supposed to call him?
I know. Did anyone else report that? I want to know.
I want to know. I feel like it's really dirty and nasty.
I know.
Something like
King, Prince or something.
No, I think it's something like...
Stop.
Nasty. like depraved.
But now she's also being made fun of for her grammar as she speaks out, which is
sad. Yeah, there were a couple of times I was like, huh?
So I think one person who called her out was Young Miami, who is a rapper.
And so she unnecessary.
Back, yeah. Anyways.
All right.
Side of R. Kelly. Moving on.
Yeah. Good luck with Jocelyn Savage. Good luck to Jocelyn Savage. So our next story is Iggy Azalea and Playboy Cardi reported that $300,000 worth of jewelry were stolen from their Buckhead home. For those of you who don't know, Buckhead is in Georgia, which I did not know.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the really nice area.
Like very, the suburb outside of Atlanta. Okay,
very expensive.
Well, so I didn't even know Iggy Azalea lived in Atlanta. I didn't even know her and Playboy Cardi were together.
I didn't know they were still together or even officially together, but they are living together.
I didn't know that. And so, okay, I, first of all, considering we both forgot about them, I did not remember. So what I assume is that this is an inside job. Either it was a housekeeper or a friend or a friend that they thought was their friend.
Because is there video of someone breaking in? What's going on?
Also, yeah.
Also, how did they deliver this news to the masses? What, did they make a post?
I know. I think they just filed a claim and maybe somebody picked it up. But that definitely sounds shady. They need to reassess their circle.
I'm tired of Iggy, really. I'm so tired of Iggy. I don't even know who this Playboy Cardi is.
He has, I'll show you the song. I can't remember what it's called.
He has the red braids or dreads, right?
Yeah. I know. No, that's...
No, that's not what I'm thinking about. That's Lil Uzi.
Okay, no.
Oh, no, that's the other one. That one who sings and... Oh, my goodness.
Okay, this is terrible. Okay, so moving on.
He had red hair once, though. I know that.
Okay, yeah, I think he did. But so this one I thought was super interesting because do you follow Humans of New York?
No, but I already did hear about this
story. Okay, so the popular social media account called Humans of New York, it's basically an Instagram account and Facebook. I think it started on Facebook and now they kind of migrated to Instagram. And they basically just... The guy goes around, takes pictures of really interesting looking people in New York and just kind of asks them random questions and posts it as an article. So the most recent woman he's posted has gone completely viral. He found a black woman. She was dressed in a fur and she has lived. She recounts about her life where her mom threw her out for getting pregnant at 17, I believe. And then her mother proceeded to have sex with her parole officer to ensure that she stayed in jail. Then she got a scholarship to FIT. She said she didn't like it, but then she speaks out about how she went to all the gay clubs in New York, like Crisco Disco, and her and her friend Paris sold off stolen clothes from Bergdorf's. So it was so popular that Humans of New York did a follow-up story where she talked about how her life as a stripper. She danced in Italian mafia clubs. She learned Italian at these mafia clubs. And she was the only black woman that she said was, quote, making white girl money. She also talks about some of the drama with her fellow strippers. And celebrities like Jennifer Garner and more have asked where her Netflix movie is. I would be here for that.
So I would be here for it too, but I wasn't that impressed. Really? I don't know if it's just the stories my mother told me or the neighborhood I'm from, but this is just any other regular story in my book.
If you've just joined us, this is What's Popping on AUP Radio, brought to you by WRP. It's 9:40.
Like so many people go through the exact same thing and do the exact same thing and have these different experiences, but they're not great. And she's also older, isn't she?
That's why I feel like it would be so interesting, you know?
I mean, yeah, because the story hasn't been told.
And also, it's kind of about... For me, I think it's all... Like, we hear about that stuff now, but this is in, like, the 1960s.
That's where I hear my stories.
Oh, well, who are you hanging out with?
My mother tells me about her family.
No, I know. I just mean it's, like, to see it as, like, a cinematic...
Who are you hanging out with?
I thought you meant, like, you're... I was like... I thought you were, like, at the old people's home. You're like, so... Ethel, tell me.
No, I mean, like, this is a type of story that needs to be told.
I
think I wasn't as, like, excited about it as other people who had never heard something like this and thought this was so out of the ordinary.
I definitely thought it was, like, I think it's just interesting about, like, the mafia aspect, the New York aspect. You know, like, there's a lot of different, like, cities, race, you know, like, I mean, we've all heard about, like, struggle stories, but I think the fact that she's, like, persevered and, like, that she's wearing a fur coat in the middle of New York, like, I want to know, like, where she is now, like, how things turned, like, you want to hear more.
This type of story needs to be told, and the fact that she already has a following and people interested in her means that it's this specific story that needs to be told.
So our next topic is the 2019 Victoria's Secret fashion show is canceled. So apparently L Brands, which is the parent company of Victoria's Secret, wants to, quote, evolve their marketing. Apparently they've found the show has no direct effect on their bra and underwear sales. Just last year, if you all remember, marketing chief executive Ed Razak said that he didn't think transgender or plus size models had a place in the show, which faced a hefty backlash, and they canceled the 2018 Victoria's Secret fashion show. So CNN is basically took this story, and they did an analyzation and deep dive, and they reported that the Victoria's Secret fashion show isn't really failing because the internet has suddenly grown a conscience, but it's really because all their favorite models are like half naked most of the time on Instagram. You don't really need to see it on TV. And when the Victoria's Secret fashion show does happen, like, we already see it on Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. We're not tuning in. We're waiting for them to post about it.
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay. That makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, it's a fabulous event, but it's not like...
Who was... I think it was Bella Hadid was maybe... I think it was her who was saying that the show never made her feel powerful and made her feel, like,
really
weak and embarrassed.
Well, I definitely paid attention the year when they did, again, break barriers, and it was the first... black woman to wear her natural hair. And like, that was a big year. It was her natural hair she had wore, and that was a big year. I saw that everywhere. So maybe they just need to, like, do more daring.
I think they just things. I mean, if you really look back at it, like, they missed the mark with the whole bralette movement and, like, kind of just, like, cupless bras and whatever, and instead they were pushing, like, continue to push up your boobs up to your chin, like, keep doing this bombshell bra, and people were like, no, I want to look like myself.
Another good idea would be following in Rihanna's footsteps and doing an Amazon,
like, that would be cool.
Yeah,
a streaming, like, maybe they would go to Netflix. Little
exactly
rivalry.
Yeah. See, I would watch that.
Me too.
I'm not gonna go sit at my TV at a specific time though to tune in. So
I agree.
Do you hear that, Victoria's Secret?
Shout out.
Okay, so Lizzo is being sued by her Postmates driver. She's being sued for libel, intentional infliction of emotional distress, and invasion of privacy by a now former Postmates delivery driver. Lizzo placed a Postmates order from Luke's Lobster in Boston mid-September, and supposedly Lizzo just took a long time to come down, and the girl ended up leaving. Lizzo ended up tweeting, "Hey, at Postmates, this girl, Tiffany W., including her image, stole my food. She's lucky I don't fight no more." The tweet is now deleted, but now the girl is saying she had to quit her job. People are threatening her. She couldn't go out. And yeah, so now she's suing her.
I love Lizzo, but I think she's just not maybe used to being a celebrity.
Yeah, like, come.
Yeah, like that was something I would do. Like, now I'd be like, come on, Postmates. But they would just be like, please take this down and refund me. But yeah, when you're a celebrity, that's not really how things work.
Yeah, so Lizzo, I hope everything's figured out. By the way, is she what, leads Grammy nominations?
Yeah, right, you do it, Lizzo.
So you need to get it together.
Yeah,
girl.
Do better, but yes. Do it.
Okay.
Thank you so much for listening. I'm Leela.
And I'm Isala.
And we're What's Poppin'
on AUP Radio.
Tune in next week.
Hello, everyone. My name is Allison, and welcome back to The Self. The conversation of today's show is a comprehensive overview of the topics previously discussed on this segment. At the beginning of every show, I like to remind you guys, this series was birthed out of personal interest in how others think. I believe there's tremendous value to be found in introspective thought, and by asking ourselves pertinent questions, such as the whys, I think we can better be able to understand others from having taken the time to understand ourselves. I welcome today's guest, a dear friend of mine and AUP alumni, Yves Sidibe.
Hello.
Thank you for coming in to speak on today's segment.
It's my pleasure.
For those of you listening that don't know Yves, he was a HLS, History, Law, and Society major, and International Law minor here at AUP. Currently, he's following a master's in geopolitics and international security.
Exactly.
Your CV sounds like it's going to be filled with amazing things.
So, yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to say to listeners or add about yourself that I didn't mention?
I'd probably just add the fact that I'm Malian. I feel like that's very important when I define myself or talk about, introduce myself. I'd like to always start by telling people where I come from, which is Mali in West Africa.
Mm.
Yeah.
Your last name is kind of a dead giveaway.
Some people don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, people in Missouri don't know Sidibe is from Mali, you know.
You'd be surprised. All right, let's jump right into the questions.
Tell me.
So, Eve loves Eve. Can you break that down for us? Because I feel like that's the epitome of I love myself, you know, but also extends further than just an overtly narcissistic statement.
Yeah, it's definitely more than that. It's not just me talking about the fact that I love myself. It's me telling people that you have to love yourself, you know, like the same way Eve loves Eve. Allison is supposed to love Allison, you know, and Kevin is supposed to love Kevin, because like your relationship with other people will be defined by your relationship with yourself. Like if you love yourself enough, and if you build a strong relationship with yourself, you won't have any problem, or maybe less problems, dealing with other people and dealing with social environments. I feel like that's where you got to start with, you know, like maybe get a mirror
with yourself
in your room. Yeah.
And practice saying I love you.
Yeah. Definitely. Wake up in the morning, look at yourself in the mirror. That sounds cheesy, but I actually
do it
sometimes.
That's a song by Wiz Khalifa.
Really?
Actually, it is.
I like
yeah,
that.
He's like,
I'll have to listen to that song. But I actually do that sometimes in the morning. Like if I feel low or something like that, I look at myself in the mirror and, you know, I talk to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it does cheer you up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you're the best person to cheer yourself up.
Yeah.
Start with that.
Start with yourself.
Yeah.
Start with the self.
Definitely.
Didn't. Okay. there's that wasn't funny. There's never just one, but for the sake of time, can you discuss a significant moment in your life that highlights the level of confidence and love that you currently have for yourself?
Wow. Okay.
It's a long question.
I know, but I have a lot of moments that come to my mind. But I'll probably say, not a moment, but a period of time, you know. It's more me reflecting on how I was in high school and when I was everything opposite from confident, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I was really shy. I was that, you know, that little guy with the round glasses and the saggy clothes. And I was scared of girls. I was scared of almost everyone. You know, I had a couple of friends, but not that many.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I just sit, like, and think about that and think about myself now, I mean, being on social media or being on a radio show or, wow, just talking to people in the streets, I just feel, I know the how far I came from.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's been a journey. It's not just, you don't, some people wake up confident. I don't know, maybe. But if you don't,
yeah,
it's a whole journey. Like, it's a whole job. Like, you have to practice, you have to train, you have to make yourself grow.
It's like a lifelong process,
it
pretty
is.
Much.
It is. And maybe not lifelong, but
so for you, you think you've reached a level of stability with your self-confidence and self-love. Like, as you were saying previously with Eve Loved Eve, that's something that you practice regularly, but it's also...
Yeah, I think I've been there for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It hasn't gone up, because I think it's been higher.
No, you gotta have limitations.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you just become cocky, and when you become cocky, it's actually because you don't know yourself enough, and you're hyper. How do you say that? There's too much cheerleading.
Yeah,
you know, you don't have to think that you're the best at everything because you're not, and you have to be aware of that too. That's part of, you know, loving yourself and knowing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. And life does a great job at forcing us to take a step back and reevaluate ourselves. Sometimes this leads to a change in our confidence, our self-love, maybe even self-respect. What remarkable moment in your life has forced you to redefine these aspects of yourself? So, like, how you love yourself, how you feel confident, the ways in which you respect yourself, and even your self-awareness.
January 2018.
That's real specific.
Yeah, it is. Actually, end of January, more like February. But I moved to Cairo for a semester exchange program. I was supposed to be there for 4 months. I did 4 months there, 4 or 5 months.
That's a semester.
Yeah.
Mm.
But then, you know how sometimes getting out of your comfort zone forces you to change your ways or change the, your habits, you know?
Yeah.
Going to Cairo actually did more for me than I would have expected it, because it was a total other universe. It was something totally new. I was in a place where I didn't know anyone. Like, there was not one person I met. Every place I've been to in my life, there was like one or two person in like the country I knew.
That's remarkable.
Almost. Almost all the places. Like, there's some places I don't know anyone.
Okay.
But then some places I went with people. So it's like knowing people, right?
Yeah.
But then in Cairo, I had a lot of time to, you know, concentrate on myself and did a lot of thinking on what was I doing wrong and what was I doing right, you know? Why did I actually make some choices in my life?
Mm.
You know, I went through stages where I was like, man, you're not really smart. Like, why'd you do that? And then some other places I was like, you're probably the smartest guy on earth, you know?
Balance.
And you have to balance that, right? And it helps you get to know yourself, being away from people or taking time for yourself. Because, like, you don't always know that you have to take time for yourself, or you don't always pay attention to that.
If you're always around other people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But removing yourself from social environment sometimes and focusing on yourself, asking yourself, like, who am I really?
Mm.
Or what defined who I am now, as opposed to who I think I was.
Mm.
See what I mean?
Yeah. And do you kind of see it as when you're always surrounding yourself with other people, it's like you become a reflection of how those people see you?
I don't know. I mean, it happens for some people.
Yeah.
Certainly never happened with me. Otherwise, I'll be really weird. Because, like, I have friends from...
You would be?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. See, as I was saying,
yes, as you were saying,
I have friends from the whole spectrum. Like, I have friends that are very extravagant, and some others that are very shy or very. I don't even know how to define my friends, because like, just picture someone and believe I have friends like that.
Okay.
Whatever type of person you're imagining,
yeah,
I probably have friends like that, except criminals. I actually some, but not yeah, bad, not bad criminals. Let's just say that.
What are
like petty criminals?
Okay, so like they pick your keys or your clothes.
I've met people like that.
Okay,
I've met people like that. Yeah.
All right. So I mean, you just talked about traveling to Cairo. We know you travel a lot.
Yeah.
Well, if you know Eve, you know he travels a lot.
I try to.
What effect has this had on your self-awareness? You kind of already touched upon it when you spoke about your experience in Cairo, but can you develop a little more?
So to this date, I've been to, 19 countries, mm-hmm. counting the countries I've lived in.
And how old are you?
I'm 23.
Wow.
I gotta reach more. Like I can definitely do better.
You're averaging at one per year,
almost
right now. Yeah,
almost. Yeah,
almost.
Yeah, but so traveling is really just a way to know something different. Mm-hmm. You know, some people travel and go to resorts and palaces and stuff like that and do the whole tourist thingy. Mm-hmm. I'm not really into that. I'll go to like maybe a small hotel or Airbnb or something like that, and then go out in the streets and start talking to people. So traveling really helps you understand that the way you're thinking is not the way of thinking, but it's a way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like my vision of the world is just as good as my vision of the world. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that other people should or are thinking the same way I am.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to Malaysia, for example, and then you go to, I don't know, Egypt, and then you go to Mali, and then you come to Paris, you go to the US, people are not thinking the same way. You know, you talk to people and you see like how people see the world in totally different ways.
Yeah.
And that kind of helps you grow and helps you notice that you're kind of small.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're nothing, but at the same time you're a lot.
You're a lot.
You see what
you're
I mean?
A big deal.
Yeah, you're a big deal, but you're nothing at the same time.
Yeah.
Even
what
if a lot
a
of people, yeah, even if a lot of people follow your way of thinking, believe me, there's a lot more people that don't follow your way of thinking. You know, so you got to be humble when you meet people from different cultures and backgrounds.
Related, unrelated. How do you think your Instagram account plays on the?
On what?
Being big and small at the same time, because you have a decent amount of followers, you know, and you made it public. It's like what do you call it? A personal blog, but it's like your travels and.
Yeah. Well, I think that's just the set categories Instagram has. So I just picked one in actually, but, I don't know. I know that people who follow me on Instagram, they're really receptive when I post travel pictures and videos. They really like it. It either starts a conversation where they want to go to the places I've been to, and then we start talking. I talk to a lot of strangers.
Yeah.
When I say strangers, it's people I don't know, you know.
Like personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just send me a message. Oh, you've been to that country. How was it? Or where should I do this? Where should I go? Whatever. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, if I go to a country, I'll probably have one or two contacts there when I leave. Maybe not when I get there, but when I leave, I can tell you, okay, this place is nice. I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
Or this place is not. I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. So I feel like my Instagram is really just a place where people can see what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very open to people talking to me and asking me about anything. You know.
Yeah. Okay. So kind of going off of that, because you mentioned that a lot of people are interested in where you travel, that can kind of be similar to self-respect. Like people respect you. They respect what you're posting and what you're putting out. So very quickly, I wanted to ask you, where do you think this comes from? And would you say it started by respecting yourself?
Yeah.
I mean, earlier you did mention it starts with you.
Yeah. I'll go deeper. It started with my mom.
Okay.
You know, like, because my mom was the first one to tell me, like, you got to respect yourself for people to respect you. You know, so I just started respecting myself from the beginning, and people appreciate that, you know, and they'll respect you if you respect yourself.
All right. Good answer. As usual, I like to leave you guys with a closing question. Be it positive or negative, what moments or moments in your life forced you to reevaluate your self-esteem? How did you let those experiences validate who you are fundamentally as a person? Thank you, Eve.
Thank you.
I appreciated your presence and your responses. Once again, my name is Allison, and thank you for tuning in. I'll see you all next week with the final episode of The Self.
AUP Radio is produced by Savannah Rowe, Fiona McMurray, Elise Chauvel, and Isabel Guigui. That's me. Our theme music is by Jill Chavitz and Oliver Henry of Chateaurouge. That's all for tonight on AUP Radio. Tune in tomorrow for more, and have a great night.